Okay, we're going to call the, is it taping?
Yeah.
We're going to call the meeting to order. We would like to begin by acknowledging the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. We're doing roll call. I'm Mayor Peter Hopkins.
Councilor Marla Haskell.
Councilor Mike Heckinen.
Mary Smith.
Councilor Nick Ryland.
Bonnie Watkinson, Clerk Administrator.
Okay. Ina has asked me to bring council up to date that we should be following our own procedural bylaws and conducting our council meetings in a business-like manner. And members of the public are welcome to attend all meetings and participate in the following ways. Listen to what is said and then ask questions related to the agenda when it's on the agenda. Contact your council members and raise your issues for them to raise. Request a deposition to council accompanied by a written submission for council to read over. Write in as correspondence which may be considered by council. In the past, we have used a courtesy where we've asked council if they wish a member of the public to speak during the meeting. And this has caused a variety of concerns, but it's not part of our procedural bylaw. Until we change our procedural bylaw, then we're going to try and run the meetings under the term. The second point of issue is that this is an election year, and if anybody has any questions about the election procedures, protocol, campaigning, they should talk with our returning officer, which is Ina. So, because no one's allowed to campaign on municipal property. Okay. So is there any declarations of conflict of interest?
Yes, I have one on 11.1.
Yeah, and I have received Schedule A from Councillor Haskell.
Perfect. Okay, any other conflicts? No? So we have an adoption on the agenda. So we have Resolution 22-257. Be it resolved that the Council of Township of Governors hereby approve the agenda for this meeting as amended by 1. Revising the meeting date and time from the July 12, 2022, 6:30 p.m. to July 19, 2022 at 10 a.m. and removing 9.1 PSAPB consent decision B30-2022 Hopkins. Mover and second, please. Councilor Ryland and Councilor Haskell. Any discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Eric? Okay, so we have two depositions, delegations. The first one is from...
Point of order. Mayor Hopkins, you just reminded the public and council about our procedural bylaw.
Yeah.
Schedule E of the procedural bylaw indicates, and there's a reminder of the Schedule E,
yeah,
that a signed detailed written submission must be provided to the first office by 1 p.m.
Yeah.
on the Tuesday prior to the meeting. Failure to provide a signed detailed written submission by the Tuesday prior to the council meeting will result in the deputation not being placed on the council agenda. Why has this been placed on the council agenda when council has not had the opportunity to review a detailed written submission to be prepared and informed about the deputation that's coming before council?
I have spoken to Mr. Johnson, and I did ask him if he had handwritten materials to present to council. He said he has much material, but nothing was presented to come to council as a package.
Once again, the mayor made it very clear, and staff know that the staff implement the procedures and policies of council. How this ended up onto the agenda without the written detailed submission being submitted is a question here that I'm asking.
When you first brought it to my attention, I did reach out to Mr. Johnson and asked him again, did he have package that we needed to supply to council? And I did not receive a package. So if it needs to be removed, it can be removed from the agenda. Because I did not, to this date, I have not received a package.
There's a reason why this is in Schedule E, is to ensure that council members can come to the council meetings prepared and be able to do their due diligence in response to the individuals making the deputations. This is in the Schedule E form and the reminder in the form. You want your council to be responsible to have the opportunity to prepare for council meetings. It needs to be in the agenda packages.
It's more of an information thing. I'm not the package. There wasn't anything that I have is clearly on the internet. If you've done any research into what I'm here for, you will see, you just click on problems that are occurring in Ontario.
Once again, the procedural bylaw is quite clear. It indicates that this information needs to be circulated with the council agenda for council to review to ensure that we are prepared for the information and we can review. We can go and double fact check the information that you're presenting to council.
Yeah, the information, this is a more of an information thing for you. I'm doing a bit of homework for you people. I'm not asking you to agree with me, or it's not something that you probably don't already know. The information I'm providing, we had an ad hoc committee meeting, and a lot of that information was brought forward then. This information I'm bringing you, if for any reason you want to challenge it while I'm saying it, please do.
It's so that we are prepared for
the information. The point is that we do have to follow the procedure, and it should be in writing to us. And so I think that a motion can come forward not to accept at this point in time. It doesn't mean you can't come to the rental committee meeting this afternoon, tonight, and talk about it, because we're going to be talking about a lot of issues tonight. I'm just saying that we have to follow the procedure of having it in writing, and that's what we're trying to do. And that's Councillor Kekkonen's understanding, it's our understanding. So, with all due respect, we have to follow that.
So, you're not going to let me talk to you on this
subject? No, right.
We would love to hear what you have to say, but there's a procedural bylaw. The mayor just went through a lengthy explanation of that we need to follow the procedural bylaw to ensure that there's consistency with municipal business. So, love to hear what you have to say. You were given opportunities to provide the information to the clerk administrator. It could be readily, easily circulated to council members for us to review. That's unfortunately the situation, and we need to be consistent. There's numerous other things on this agenda that are going to fall in the same categories, that policies are in place and they haven't been adhered to, and it creates disorder, and we need to be consistent here.
So who's at the meeting at 6:30?
The committee.
What committee? The ad hoc committee?
Yeah.
The ad hoc committee is basically providing the information as to what the problems are. We all know the problems. I mean, that's not an issue. There's no doubt that everybody here, while they're annoyed, I mean, that's not the issue. It's council that has to hear the information. And the information that's going to be provided to council from the ad hoc committee, you can pick that information up within 5 minutes on the internet. I mean, I'm not trying to knock down the ad hoc committee at all, but what they were, you know, just the horror stories of what people gave. My thing here was just information as to what maybe procedures that you guys should take as done by other municipalities in the area.
Two things. One, you should have that in writing, and secondly, the committee is directed to do that and bring that back to council. It doesn't make any decisions. It only recommends.
No, I realize that. I realize.
So, if you want to come to the meeting tonight at 6:30 in the community center, you're quite welcome to.
Because
you were at the last meeting. So.
Yes, I was.
I think the point that Councillor Kekkonen is making is that if you have information from other councils, what other councils are doing.
Right.
That's
right.
The information that
sure.
is wanted in the package so that they're able to review that.
Sure. Okay.
That's what they're asking
and
for.
And second, you do have an item here, bylaw enforcement. I would love to have had that information because there is bylaw renewal of the bylaw enforcement contract on the agenda here today. So I you know, it's this is what the requirements are, and I'd love to hear the information, but there's other items on the agenda as well. But
well, Ina did get in touch with me, asked if I had any documentation for it, and I really didn't probably grasp that it was necessary that you be cited on all the different areas that, I mean, it goes on and on and on the internet. I mean, it's not, this isn't secret stuff, you know.
So, any further discussion? You don't need a resolution?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine, thank you. Again, you're welcome to come tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Next one is our written submission for our final asset management plan from Mr. Arunas Kalinauskas.
Yeah.
That's the correct way of pronouncing it. So I will turn it over to you, and you can walk us through and answer some questions at the end. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate you did pronounce the name properly, and that's unique in my world. thank you for the time this morning. We understand that council had to be shifted. Council meeting had to be shifted to today. I hope the precautions in place from last week are resolved and everyone's feeling well. I also apologize to Dan Wilson, who is the specialist that created the financial strategy. He can't join us this morning. He had a different township council meeting, emergency council meeting to attend. But I will do my best to handle the financial strategy portion. And I also know that we don't have much time. And I'm wondering, should I share my screen to share the PowerPoint presentation?
I have it on as well, so I can play it for you.
Okay, that's fine. So if you go to the second slide. This is just an outline. I'm not going to spend much time on the slide because I know you're limited in time, and I want to honor the time that we have together. And we're on the asset management plan. Great. So this plan, if you move to the next slide, please. Slide number 3. Great. Perfect. Well, there you go. So this asset management plan is for core assets. The core assets involve roads, bridges, stormwater, water, and wastewater. Yes, it's understood that the township does not have any, call it distribution, water, or wastewater networks. However, I thought it would be important for the township to at least acknowledge the water and wastewater assets that you do have, even though they're only tied to your facilities, the township facilities. But that's why they're there. We felt that it'd be good for the township to at least track that in this asset management plan. We went to a great effort to try to synthesize and create a single kind of asset inventory. The initial take was from the township's TSAB, or what you would call the tangible capital asset listing that the finance group has, Treasury has, but then we found that there were some inconsistencies from year to year, and working with the treasurer, we came up with a final listing that we utilized. There was, in some cases, not the financial information, so we're hoping that moving forward, the township will be able to utilize this effort that we went through to move forward with your not just asset management purposes, but also with your financial reporting systems. If you can go on to the next slide, please. Asset management is an important it's an important activity that really needs to be run through on an annual basis within the township, within staff, and it has to permeate throughout all staff having this focus. It's part of any kind of funding that you'd be asking for from the province. There's federal gas tax agreement funding that requires it. And in particular, it's the Bill 6 Infrastructure for Jobs and Prosperity Act, Regulation 588.17, that requires an asset management plan. So you have two more stages within this, call it Regulation 588, that you have to complete. And then in 2025, after the 2025 asset management plan is completed and approved by council, then you'll have a minimum of 5 years to create the next one. Next slide, please. Benefits are real. Utilizing the asset management information into your budget process would be the ideal thing for your long-term financial planning and projections for the township. Next slide, please. A document that you may or may not have reviewed in the past, there's a lot of good information on the Ontario provincial website, but one document that came out back in, I believe it was 2008, is a very good, short, it's maybe around 30 pages long, I'd call it a primer on asset management. It's called the Building Together Guide. And you can Google that, and that will give you a very good background information on asset management and help anyone that's interested. The only part of that document that I would say is a little weak is the levels of service portion. And that moving forward in Regulation 588 actually has been expanded, and we're utilizing that expanded information and information from across the country and around the world that helps identify these levels of service. You can go to the next slide, please. So the state of local infrastructure, as I mentioned before, this was a big undertaking for us, because there really wasn't a solid, what I would call, asset inventory that could be utilized for asset management purposes readily. So we worked on that. We utilized, finally, the road needs study information. What we got from that to utilize the information last fall was just the road inventory, as well as some of the recommendations from that study. The bridge inspections were also used, and I state here estimates, because the bridge inspections, the way they were completed, completed by an engineering firm, very reputable, good information. The difference with what the province is expecting townships to have completed is that the bridge inspections did not utilize the most current OSIM forms, Ontario Structure Inspection Forms, and those forms would have a calculation for bridge condition index. So what we did to get condition values out of that report was we had our structural bridge engineers review the data that's there and give a best estimate to the bridge condition. And I'm not saying it's an exact condition, because our engineers didn't review those bridges, but we tried to utilize our best understanding from that information, the photos that were included in that document, as well as our experience doing a lot of bridge studies. We have really good team of bridge engineers that do this on a regular basis all throughout Ontario. The water information was really from documents provided by staff, the wastewater information, notably the septic systems and notices of the completion were involved. And your stormwater information was really from the public works manager and just discussions with your manager. Next slide, please. Grabbing all that information, this is a generalized slide that, if you want, I'd love to talk about this probably for hours, but you won't let me, and rightfully so. Just a general comment on this is an asset will have this degradation or decay over time as it's being used, and there's a minimal performance level that the asset should have before it has to be either replaced or at least enhanced somehow to ensure that the level of service of that asset remains solid for the public's use. So that condition is really trying to move you forward into where are you in this curve in the life of that asset to better understand how much life is left in that asset before you have to replace it or do the next enhancement. Next slide, please. I apologize for the size, but there's a lot of information here. And so when you look at this, and you look at kind of the center part of this, there, your condition on the whole of when you look at all of your assets and you try to assess it based on a weighted average next to a replacement cost, your assets are good, you know? They're identified in good condition. That said, it doesn't mean that you don't have assets that are, you know, need replacing or need some attention. It's a weighted average. What we did in this study is we accept that there are road bases, but a township like McKellar will not be replacing road bases. You may be improving them in some places, and therefore we took that value and said, look, you're not going to be replacing this. Therefore, you know, you might enhance it as required when you're doing a road reconstruction or rehabilitation. And that is a valid point, and we can discuss that if you have questions later. But on the whole, everything's looking quite good. The one, call it road for bridges and culverts, is fair, identified as in fair condition. And I'm cautioning that because our condition rating was based on estimates of bridges that we did not inspect. We just took information, and this is fair. So please take that with a bit of a grain of salt. It isn't a bad mark on the township at all. We know that you're doing work on your bridges, and you're moving forward in that regard. Next slide.
Yeah, Lourdes, I'm just going to interrupt for a minute. Is that we would like to give council's permission to extend your time, since we didn't have the first deposition, for at least another 10 minutes. It's such an important topic. We've been waiting for this report for a long time. And then there'll be questions and answers after that. So unless council disagrees, it's really a critical one for us that we've been waiting for. So thank you very much and continue.
Thank you. Appreciate the extra time. So this slide just identifies the distribution of replacement cost for all of your assets, of those core assets. As you can see in the top one, that brown colored pie of that pie chart is the largest piece, and that's the road base. When you take that out of the equation, then your bridges become your largest replacement cost asset type, therefore showing that value that the township has in that asset type. Next slide, please. Level of service, I won't go through all of this, just best to understand that this is an important thing to try to keep levels of service at a good balance, because you realize that, yes, you can have higher levels of service, but now it also costs more to maintain that higher level. So there's a balance there to ensure that your levels of service are appropriate. And typically, the depends on how much effort is invested in maintaining and ensuring that you upgrade those assets at appropriate times. Next slide, please. This is a slide that identifies that as that asset's life cycle continues, your best value is to invest smaller amounts of money in those assets to ensure a higher level of service. And over the entire life of that asset, it actually gives you the best value. Not only best value, but best level of service as well. Next slide, please. So we went through a process with our specialists on the engineering kind of aspects of strategy. We also took into account that the levels of service. We also took into account risk. And if you go to the next slide, please. So this is how we broke down risk and trying to manage that risk. I won't go into detail, it's in the report, but if you go to the next slide, please. The resultant of that analysis provides this outline by the different asset classes. And you can see those large blocks at the bottom are for your asphalt surfaces. That kind of brownish color, red-brown color, is for surface-treated road surfaces. And near the top, those blue colors are for your bridges. And then the greenish color is for your gravel road surfaces. So your distribution over time is really quite good. And is quite manageable, and we'll better understand that as we go into the financial strategy, which is the next slide, please. So I have some notes from Dan Wilson on these slides, and we're happy to try to answer your questions, but if you do have more questions, we will get back to council with a written response if I can answer. So, in this slide, it really shows you the historical capital investment from 2021 and 2022. One thing of note here is that the contribution in 2022 from of $422,000 is from that operating transfer from operating. Next slide, please. So, the optimal investment, if you wanted to do a quick kind of sketch of your optimal investment, you can take those replacement costs, identify your weighted average useful life, and then you can do a quick analysis. And this quick analysis provides kind of this $937,700 on an annual basis. If you can invest that in your core assets, that will keep those at a very good level of service, and you will still have money to replace them moving into the future over, and this is analysis over the 10-year period of our project. Next slide, please. This slide is actually similar to the other one that you saw from the asset strategy. The difference here is it's identified for the blue color is for replacement, the orange color is for rehabilitation or those added investments into the assets, and the gray is levels of service for kind of maintenance-related costs for those assets. And this is how it's distributed. Just another way to look at how that money is distributed in these different categories. Next slide, please. On this slide, we have, contributions to reserves. So we talked with the treasurer, the township treasurer, and we went through the process of this financing strategy to get comments back from the treasurer and to ensure that this kind of fits well with the township. And what we see here is that the $400,000 transfer from operating budget is shown annually in our contributions, etc. And it also shows the grant, I believe. I'm having difficulty seeing the slide, but I believe that's on. Yes, the NORA grant coming in 2024 and 2025. That helps your financial strategy quite well. The other assumption we're making in the financing strategy is the gas tax and OSIP funding, that it is going to continue annually. So from last year to this year, the province has, I believe, close to double that value. And it is expected, based on the information we're getting from the province, that those values are going to continue into the future. So that's why we're retaining that higher value in that. Next slide, please. So this slide shows your debt capacity, and you'll see that in 2027, you finish off paying that debt that you currently have, and we're just showing you that capacity for debt if that is required. That red line is the capacity. Not that anyone really wants to have capacity. It's just showing how well the township's doing. Next slide, please. So this is really a final slide on the financial strategy. It's showing you the gap that you have kind of right now in 2023 and moving up to 2032 where you fulfilled that. And so the yellow represents kind of the funding gap that is reduced to zero by 2032. What it does show, though, is that the gray values represents the recommended increases in annual funding. And so it progressively increases as you go through the 10-year period. If you go to the next slide, please. So from a financial basis, the recommendations are to consider reserve consolidation by funding type, and annual surpluses, any kind of annual surpluses from capital reserves, go to capital reserves, the budget saving from debt elimination should be rolled into capital. So that money that you're paying back, once in 2027, roll that same money into your capital program. Update financing strategy for all of your other assets, like your facilities and recreation areas. And, this has to be, obviously, the strategy has to be updated and looked at on an annual basis with your budget process. Next slide, please. So our final recommendations are that council receive and approve our asset management plan for core assets, that council consider the 2021 asset management plan during annual budget deliberations, and that the plan be updated as required as township's priorities change and in conjunction with Regulation 588 that we talked about before. And I'm happy to take any questions if we still have any time.
Thank you very much for your excellent presentation, and certainly food for thought as we move forward in the next 10 years. But I'm going to ask anybody from council if they have any direct questions at this point in time. There's a lot of information, there's a lot of thought, there's a lot of planning that's going to have to go into everything, so with our staff and with council. But anything off the top that you would like to ask members? Councilor Kekkonen first, and
okay, you go first, Mike.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, in page 41 of the document.
Well, I stayed who you are.
Sorry, no, it's Councillor Nick Ryland. On page 41, you have a paragraph kind of in the middle level here. It says, the current level of funding for asset replacement and renewal of the township will not sufficiently fund required capital needs or close the infrastructure funding gap. And as such, it's recommended that the following be considered. You have quite a number of those things. Can you, I suppose this is a summary, but can you cover that a little more than what you have? I mean, you've done a great job with the presentation, other than I know it's very hurried, but can you explain more in simple terms?
The document tries to outline things. Yeah. The recommendations are really generalized.
Yeah.
If you had a specific question,
yeah,
I could try to answer anything specific that you'd like me to.
No, I'm frankly, the way that it struck me is it jumped out and bit me as I read through the document, because it's, you know, a very important statement and obviously very critical for us to deal with in future budget deliberations anyhow, and that's, you know, a material level of funding that you're talking about. I mean, further down, you said the township ensure a minimum of $400,000 is available from the annual budget to fund core infrastructure capital needs. And I just, you know, wanted to, well, number one, I found the recommendations very helpful, and it's certainly a key factor for us in going forward in planning anyhow. But prior to that, you have a great deal of information, and even after that, you have even more information. It's a lot to swallow, but it is helpful for that. And you're right, I should have asked a more specific question. I don't really have that, other than it's startling to look at, that's all, but useful.
If I can make a comment here on that, I have to tell you that the township is doing, by comparison to other municipalities across the province that we've done this work for, you're doing very well. To be on track to be in a sustainable level is a really positive sign. The other part I would like to mention, though, is our window is a 10-year window. Asset management really should be a larger window and a longer window to try to better understand what's going to happen next. So the reason I can say that you're doing well is because your assets are really quite stable for the most part. Yes, there are some things in the bridges areas that need some attention, and that was identified in your bridge study as well. But you're working on that. And that is a positive sign that council is working with staff and with your local engineering firms to try to ensure that your levels of service are being maintained and up to a level that is appropriate. So I have to say you're doing well.
Councilor Kekkonen?
Yeah, Councilor Kekkonen here. Yeah, thank you for your document here, and I agree with you. We could talk about this for hours, and I believe the council actually should talk about it for hours and arrange a meeting firm that prepared this to ensure that it is understood a little bit more in depth, and I'm looking forward to when the full asset management plan is prepared that includes facilities and vehicles compared to the 2014-2015 version. I'm just wondering if there's a dollar amount. I didn't see it in here, but in the 2014-2015 version of our asset management plan, it indicated that there was an infrastructure deficit. There was a dollar amount allocated, that there was an infrastructure deficit of approximately $1,190,273. Is there a number that you have calculated for this current version of just the core assets for the municipality?
I'm sure we can probably come up with a number. I'm just looking at the, if you go to the second last or third last slide, if you can go back there, you'll see kind of the annual investment funding gap. So you'll see the yellow, or at the bottom of that graph, it shares, you know, in year 2023, you're just shy of 300,000. Yes, the graph on slide 21, yes. So at the bottom there in that table, you can see the actual amounts that we've identified for core assets that you are, you know, the funding gap. Does that answer your question?
I'd have to look at it closer, and it probably sort of aligns with my next question, which, looking at the 2014-2015 version, bridges and culverts replacement costs were, you know, about $5.7 million, roads $28 million, and just a little bit different numbers than what is presented in this report. Did you have access to the 2014-2015 asset management plan?
We did, and we reviewed it. The reason there are differences in those asset values, we're using replacement costs, and those values will change. And the other part of that is that we utilized as much as we could the bridge inspection report that you received. And in there, we utilized those bridge replacement values as they were presented.
Thank you. And on page 8, it mentions that signs are not in the inventory. They were in the 2014-2015 version, and that sort of raises a question to me, since our sign asset values have increased since the 2014-2015 version, that it isn't in this current version of the asset management plan. And then additionally, it mentions page 21, digital tracking to improve sort of accountability for maintenance standards. Are we not paying into a digital tracking system for our vehicles currently?
Yes.
I'm just wondering, is there an enhanced version of the digital tracking that we should be installing on the vehicles compared to what we currently have?
We didn't inspect or identify with your ADL system, which is the vehicle tracking devices in your vehicles. But just having an ADL system is very good. Identifying the deficiencies in your road allowance area. So your minimum maintenance standards, that's regulation 239.02, Ontario Regulation 239.02 plus amendments, and those standards identify that not just reviewing the roads, but identifying where those deficiencies are. There are many municipalities that utilize paper on that, and I'm really not sure how the township is doing this. The recommendation is to try to look for a system that can prove that the staff have gone out and patrolled those roads on a regular basis. Because based on your traffic count, I would assess, as a guess, believe that your road network would have a maintenance class of 3, 4s, and 5s, which means the shortest time period that a road needs to be inspected is maybe weekly. But most of them probably once a month. And having that AVL system or that vehicle tracking system is very good, but also having a system that records and puts in a database that can't be altered, that the inspector or the patroller identified a deficiency and therefore will have a certain amount of time to fix that deficiency. It's that rigor that is recommended. It's not mandatory. I'm sure you don't have too many issues in the township, but just something as a recommendation.
Thank you. And on page... charts, McKellar Road Base Inventory, expected levels of service, town input. Is there data missing in the last three charts? And this is prior to, I don't believe there's any page numbers on these here. There's the three charts that seem to be missing.
It's in the top right corner, which I think is where your clip is, right? In other words, where you're bulldog clip is, because I think there's a number, at least on the pages I'm seeing, it's up there. No. Okay.
Anyways, there's three charts, and I believe well, we need to have you in again to discuss more information. But I believe that our council rep on the Environmental Lake Stewardship Committee can gleefully go and report to his members that the source water protection that the township is completing the level of service as well with the appropriate zoning and planning and ensures that source water is protected. That's on page 23. Thank you.
It's believed that the township has gone through all of the standard provincial requirements with source water protection.
That's good to hear.
Councilor Austin, do you have any questions?
Just a comment, basically, that yeah, it's a good document and it's got some good information. From what I see the report, I say that we're in pretty good condition, but it may even show here that we've got to be careful going forward. We may even have to increase our spending starting in 2024 to make sure that we're at least staying level going forward for the next 10 years, or a slight increase would be wonderful. And so this is definitely a good guideline to steer us along when we're going through our budgets as to how much we should be investing. So thank you for the document.
Yeah, I just have one final question. First of all, thank you for your document. It's a starting base for what council can develop as a new 10-year plan moving forward, with all its ramifications. But are you aware of any imminent grants that would help us in this particular area that we should be investigating now for 2023 and 24?
I would investigate the Federation of Community Municipalities. They have a grant that will provide up to $50,000 for asset management related purposes. One of the areas that I would suggest would be a value, and this is something that I discussed with your public works manager, I would suggest would be a value to the township is to have inspection of your stormwater or your crossroad culverts. And I know the manager of Public Works probably doesn't agree with me as much. This is with respect to trying to ensure that the capacity of the stormwater water flow, surface water flow, in particular during extreme weather events, is manageable. We're seeing around the world, and in particular in parts of Canada, that these extreme weather events are causing some real grief. We're actually just completing a project like this that we got for the township. Actually, it's the town of Grand Valley. Inspection of their crossroad culverts and catch basins, etc. And what we found is in some places those crossroad culverts that needed to be cleaned out. And it isn't that the township is not doing a good job inspecting them and cleaning them out. Sometimes it might mean that when you're reconstructing or rehabilitating a road, instead of the one culvert, maybe now you're going to need the two small culverts. Just to ensure that that water flow under extreme weather events can ensure that that water stays away from the roads. Because, you know, a huge asset of the township are your roads. And if you can't move that water, water will find a way to erode that road very quickly, as I'm sure you've had experience doing that. So that would be something that I would recommend based on your core assets. Now, understand that our report is based on the core assets. You still have your two other main asset types being your vehicles and facilities that need to be added to get a full understanding of your assets across the township.
Great, thank you very much. We do inspect for beavers regularly because they cause more of a problem than anything else. Is there any further questions from council? Again, we thank you very much for your very professional report, and this is the basis for us going forward for the next 10 years. Much appreciated.
Very welcome.
So we have resolution 22258. Be resolved that the Council of Township of Encounters hereby received a deputation from Arunas Kalanaskas of R.J. Burns, Inc. on the financial asset management plan for core assets. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Ryland. Second. Councillor Haskell. Any further discussions? Call a question. All in favor? Good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
We have resolution 22259. Be resolved that the Committee of the Township of Cutter Survivor approved the minutes of the June 12, 2022 regular meeting of Council and the June 24, 2022 special meeting of Council. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Haskell? Councillor Ryland? Any discussion? Councillor Beckham?
Just a minor detail. June 24th, page 2 of 3, the resolution number seems to be missing from 22249.
Thank you. No other call question on the favor? Here. Moving into 9.2, application Coco.
I was just checking to see if John Jackson is
on. Is he here?
No, Mary says that he's not here.
Mm-hmm. There is a report.
There is a report, yes.
So any comments from...
Resolution.
Oh, okay, great. Resolution 22-260. That the proposed consent to reconfigure lots 8881 and plan 247 is adopted for by Wilsa Coca and application number B25-2022 McKellar be approved subject to the following conditions. Rezoning the lands to reflect the two reconfigured lots. Verification from the Director of Operations by way of the staff report, two lots could accommodate an entrance in compliance with the municipal standards. 911 addressing and payment of any applicable planning fees. We have a mover and a second, please. Councilor Haskell, second. Councilor, is there any discussion? Yes,
I believe there is one step that possibly would have been missed, that to deeming it not a part of the plan of subdivision. This seems to have been part of that original subdivision plan. So I would like to have this deferred to ensure that that step is adhered to according to the Planning Act, and, you know, or an opinion on that. I'm not 100% sure, so.
Well, I think it should be deferred if John Jackson's not here to speak on the matter.
Councillor's wish?
Yeah, that's fine. We can defer until John will speak to it, and then Councillor Kekkonen's point maybe could be brought up to John to look at in the meantime.
So we've agreed to defer it?
Yeah.
Do I have a vote? Call a question?
To defer.
Thank you. So, Resolution 22-261, be it resolved that the Council of Township Cutter has hereby received the draft minutes of the June 23rd, 2022 meeting of the Recreation Committee. Can I remove a second, please? Councilor Ryan? Councilor Haskin?
Who's the drummer on that?
Drummer?
I think it's an audio.
Sorry, I'm not here with you.
But the audio is
not
good.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. Any discussion? Any discussion on the draft minutes? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22-262. Be resolved the Council of Governors hereby received the draft minutes of the June 25th, 2022 meeting of the Short Term Rental Ad Hoc Committee. Can I have a mover and a second, please? Ms. Lyle, second. Ms. McKethy, Haskell. Any discussion? Yes, Councilor.
I attended this meeting and it did not follow any form of a regular committee meeting. There was no accepting of the approval of the agenda in the open session of that entire meeting which I attended. So I don't know how this can be accepted as approved minutes when it didn't follow the structured meeting structure of that's set out in the procedural bylaw.
It was simply a way to get it started and get reconnected with the whole topic, of the area by doing some involvement process.
There's no complaint about that, and it's
fully... They're all healthy. So these are only draft minutes anyway, so they're already draft notes. We haven't even approved them by the committee yet.
But as a presiding officer and with years of experience, how is it that you did not follow regular procedures regarding meetings?
We followed most of them. The only one we didn't do was at the start by getting involvement because of the nature of the topic and the nature of the issue.
So anyways, that's my point.
That's still fair and reasonable. You're allowed to do those in committee meetings. The idea is that almost committee of the whole and allow a lot of open discussion. That's what committees are for.
Oh, absolutely. I'm not disputing, and I fully support and encourage the work of the committees, but there's a certain structure, and as a presiding officer and a decade of experience, so you'd understand there's a protocol that's followed.
If you look at the agenda tonight, we've followed all that basic information.
Anyways, that's my only point. Thank you.
Okay. Any other discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Carried.
Abstain.
So we have resolution 22263 that the Council Township Governor hereby receives staff report of BIN 2022-05 donation grants request for information and further approves the following donations for 2022.
And I'll declare the conflict of interest and leave my seat.
Yes, sorry. Yes, $1,500 to JBG to purchase material for construction of the Bluebird breeding boxes. $2,000 to the Herdville Community Club to assist with the costs associated with rebuilding of the vestibule of the main entrance of the Herdville Community Center. And $500 to the Nanomic Snow Raiders to assist with the purchase of a Scandic snowmobile to be used for trail grooming in the McKellar, Dunchurch, and Palmac Harbor area. I have a mover and a seconder. Two of you left, so. Yeah. Okay, so discussion. Let's do them. Let's start at the time. Is there any issue with the Bluebird thing? This is the second time.
Oh, no, we're starting way before that. We have a donation grant policy,
right.
And there's a deadline that all submissions must be made before March 1st of each year. All of these submissions, except for the arm wrestling, which is a standard donation the township has given throughout the years through the Agricultural Society. And it's interesting, was there someone that solicited these groups? Because it seems that someone has provided misinformation to these groups, indicating in the Tuesday, June 14, 2022 Mayor's Report that our Community Special Projects Fund is now open for applications by community groups looking for assistance with the McKellar project, for example, the Bluebird project. So this is June 14, 2022. If the mayor would have read the donation grant policy, there would be no debate here today because it would be very clear that all these came in after the March 1st deadline. These may be applicable for the following year, but they're not applicable for this year. And as well, if the mayor would have read that requests for donations, grants will not be supported for capital projects. Capital projects are structural buildings or vehicles. So misleading the residents to think that there's a hope for receiving some type of a grant or donation, which is contrary to a policy, municipal policy, puts us in a position where we're sitting here debating a policy. If you want to bring the policy back and have it changed, then you can do so, but we are never to be sitting here debating a policy when we know the parameters of it, and staff are to ensure that the policies and procedures of council are adhered to.
Any other comments?
I agree that we had talked about this previously, and I do agree with Mike, with Councillor Kekkonen, that the policy does clearly stipulate that, and we did not receive these until June, and it is also very clear in the policy that we don't support capital projects. Going through what I had received, I did do some background information, and I made recommendations, but it is for council to decide, making note of the fact that, yes, everything was received post the deadline, and two of the projects that they're requesting funding for are, in fact, capital projects.
Yeah, I think the deadline is a deadline, but we didn't notify anybody that this was coming up because we hadn't approved any budget stuff, so we should have been doing a notice out to the public way before the deadline, and so we're remiss not doing that. So mine was a reminder that we never even advertised it, because we've only been doing it for a couple of years. We haven't given out much money in the last few years. It's a new concept, but we're still exploring the parameters, the timing, and originally the deadline was in March because we would pass the budget in April. So we didn't even pass the budget until after these donations were received. So that's the dilemma. It wasn't done as a purposeful mislead or anything. It was just because we hadn't approved the budget. Because normally we did that. I think we've only done it 3 years. 2 years plus this year. So it's not a new thing. So we're still exploring all the perms and cons of it. And there's the deadline was only because of the budgetary delay process. So, and they hadn't been, nobody had been informed. So if you want to defer all this till next year, then that's fine. But I think that you should review the parameters and review the timing, and also have a note that we advertise this properly to our community so that people are well aware. When I would go to meetings, I would mention to the groups, yes, that we have a donation policy. I didn't do the deadline thing because we hadn't passed the budget yet, and I knew that it was going to be on. So if that's my fault, then I'll accept that. But it was to encourage groups, particularly, there's only $8,000, but it's encourage community groups to apply for things that are going to enhance the quality of life in our community. And to me, it's a great benefit because of all the work that these groups do. They're all volunteer groups. They contribute unbelievably to our community. They enhance the quality of life. And we should be encouraging this and notifying this well in advance and not be so hung up on dotting I's and crossing T's, but on what the whole value of this project is. So if we have to change it, we have to defer it, no, that's fine. But that was the rationale behind it, just so you're aware. Councillor Kekkonen.
No one is disputing the merits of the groups that do fantastic work in this municipality. What if someone comes in next week and puts in a grant donation application? Are we going to, in 2 weeks from now, another fantastic group puts one in? Are we going to say, well, we did it for those guys, we're going to have to do it for these? So the policy is there so we understand the parameters and so that it's fair and that everyone is aware of the options and possibilities of the grants donation
option. The grant situation should be circulated to council for review. And so they can look at the dates, they can look at the parameters, and make any changes they would like moving forward. So that's one situation. So what you want to do with this situation is, what I'm understanding is, defer it to next year or pass it. So
that is for council to decide. As I said, in my report, I did make note of the fact that the submissions were late, all of the submissions were late. And I also made note that the capital projects are not included in the policy.
Sure.
I made recommendations, keeping that in mind, that that would be something for council to consider.
Right.
And form the resolution based on that, that whether council wanted to consider that or not. But I absolutely acknowledge the fact that, yes, they were past the deadline,
yeah.
And two of them are capital projects, which is not part of the donation policy.
Yeah, we understand both those points, so whether council wants to proceed with this or not is up to council. Council Kekkonen does not want to. I don't know what...
I take Councillor Kekkonen's point. I mean that, yeah, if we approve any of these, with all of them being late, then we certainly open the door for somebody else to come even later. Having said that, I mean, yeah, there's lots of value in doing these things. I'm not sure if I understand, Peter, if your suggestion is that we revisit the policy first and then decide if we want to look at these at that point. I mean, I guess if we revisit the policy, we could even look at, you know, with the capital project exclusion. But that would delay this for until after the new council is in place, which is a pretty serious delay. But
And the one thing I did take in count in consideration when I did make those recommendations is that in our budget, we only allow for $5,000 a year.
Okay.
So if someone was to come back later, we're maxed out as far as our budget is concerned.
So how is that fair?
It's
that someone comes next week and puts in an application.
Yeah. And what if they have a valid application and it's not a capital project?
Because the way it's divvied up is with the amount that is in the budget.
Yeah.
And so if there's 10 applicants that are eligible, then it most likely we get divided 10 ways.
Yep. Yeah. I agree.
So we can approve it, we can defeat it, we can defer it.
The only one in that resolution is the one that the township has made a long-term commitment, was the arm wrestling
contest. Yeah.
And I had that. Yeah. I've got that as a separate resolution.
Okay, so that one
because that's
deal with.
That's been ongoing.
Yes, that's something that the township has sponsored rather than a donation. Mm-hmm. It was just that the request that came through from the Agricultural Committee asked for it as a donation, but in actual fact, it's not.
No.
It's something that the township has sponsored. So I kept it separate from the donation.
And if the township staff could advise the groups of other funding opportunities. I know that when the 150 funding opportunities came around for the Ontario 150, that the Herdville group was successful in receiving some funds through that. So if there's any other that could help in this time where they may be expecting a certain amount of dollars in donations, that there might be other options available.
Can we vote on the individual, like there's four requests, is I guess the best word to use for them, and can we vote on the individual ones?
Well, once again, next week someone comes in and they want to have some of that funding. How is that fair? Are we buying votes, you know? Are we trying to buy favor with, you know, voting on particular ones?
I'm certainly not, and probably that has no factor in my decision one way or the other.
So anyways, policy is there for a certain reason. If council wants to bring it to the table for review, then that's an option. But once again, we have policies that just don't seem to be adhered to, and then it creates a situation of where there's no accountability.
Right.
And doing favors and other distrust within the community.
Okay.
So.
So we have to move forward with this. What do we want to do? Do you want to defer it until we review the policy? And since the deadlines were late, and there's a question about capital things that needs to be reviewed by the new council, and proper advertising be done in future years, something like that.
I can support that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So we would just defer this.
No, we defeat it. We can pass a resolution to review the grant donation policy.
This we defeat, and then we do a different, a new resolution for the council to review the donation policy.
Okay.
Can I make a suggestion, too? When I look at the actual grant application form, you know, given that our policies, I mean, are fairly simple looking at what I'm seeing in the discussion here, it probably would be worthwhile to have a page of the application that says, here's the policies that govern this,
mm-hmm.
right? Including if there's a maximum limit of 5,000, we should say so, and it will be divided accordingly, and we don't cover capital, so people don't waste their time applying for something we can't grant. So.
Okay, so I'm going to call a question, and we can go and do another resolution.
Sure.
Call a question, all in favor? Opposed? Defeated.
Do you want to read that one?
Yes.
Yes.
So it needs three things. It needs a review of the current policy.
Mm-hmm. And this is for the future council? This
Yeah. It needs proper advertising for the deadline for these things in line with the budget. You may want to look at that date because it's correlated to the budget. And we've defeated the applications. Based on the deadline, it was late for all of them. There's a couple of capital projects which contravene our current policy. So for the next council, it's going to review the policy, make any changes that it wants to make, also to advertise earlier to all the community groups to meet the deadline, but review the policy and see if that policy still stands. And I think Nick said to ensure that the application form has the details of the purpose of it, the policy.
At least a summary, anyway. I wouldn't say, I don't know how long the detail would be, but yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, why not, you know, exclude things right at the beginning if they're asking for capital.
That's fine.
So.
Improvements.
summary of the policy, specifically about capital projects, so that, you know, if that's what they're applying for, they know not to. And I would think the deadline would be the other thing. And, you know, what the total budget is. I mean, that would be a given year, I guess, because it's subject to change.
It's going to be subject
to
change.
Yeah. And frankly, without ever reading through the policy itself, I mean, whatever other salient details we need were there, but not, you know, I'm thinking a paragraph or two, that's about it, so.
Just saying, we're reviewing the grant donation policy, bylaw, such and such.
Yeah.
Would that be sufficient?
No, I'm talking about changes to the application itself.
That would be discussed when you're dealing
sure,
with
that's
the donation policy.
And we could always put in a hyperlink to it so they can go and review it directly.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Give that a read for
the details
anymore.
If they want.
Yeah, as necessary.
Resolution 22-2264. Resolved that the Council of Township of Keller is hereby direct the new term of council to review the donation grant policy regarding filing timelines and capital projects, direct the clerk to advertise for applications for donations and grant requests in January of every year, that the application form includes a summary of the policy with respect to filing deadlines, capital projects, etc. Mover and second. Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22-2265. Be resolved that the Council of Township and Government hereby agree to provide the prize money for the arm wrestling competition at the 2022 McKellar Fall Fair. May I have a mover and a second, please? Councilor Haskell, second.
I'm sorry, I did put up a hand. I took it down quickly, too. But
oh,
I'm okay with either one. That's fine.
All right. We'll move on to Councilor Kennedy. Any discussion?
So this has been in place for decades.
This has been in
place. Yes.
Yeah, the one thing that I did want
to... about 145 years, I think. It's been there a while.
That's 14 decades.
The request that they put through was for $250. By going back and checking in the past, the last fall fair, we actually gave them a check for $300. So whether they increased their prices or what, ever, but as I said, they only asked for the 250, but I know past amount was 300. So, but it is a sponsorship that we've done regularly.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All in favor? Carried. Resolution 22-266, be resolved that the Council of Township Governors hereby receive the June 2022 account payable preliminary check run reports for information. Moving to second, please. Mr. Allen, second. Mr. Huston. Any discussion?
Can I ask a question? There are two payments appearing on here for $2,500 for the janitorial contract. They're on two different pages, but both pages are numbered page two, but yet they are different from each other. And I'm wondering if either the payment was duplicated or somehow it's just a printing error. And I'm not expecting necessarily an answer from you right now. I mean, I know it's more of a Roshan question, but
yeah.
It appears here. And I couldn't see any material difference in the detail, right? there was no specific difference, but the fact that it showed up twice was an issue. Yeah, you only have one here. Right. So this one, and this one, as you can see, they're both numbered, page 2, but they have different dates in the header. Does the check number, yes, this is the check number here. Mm-hmm. So are we sure that this payment wasn't duplicated? And this says
that is definitely.
Your worship, if I may.
Yes, go ahead, Mary.
So there is 2 checks, but because one was lost in the mail, so it wasn't duplicated as in the payment. So one was
check got lost and we replaced it.
Yeah, because it got lost and then we replaced it.
Thank you, Mary. That's a great answer. That's what concerned me looking through. Yeah. I go, wait a minute, didn't I just read this? Right. So, okay, thank you.
Probably simple answer, vehicle license plate renewal. That stated due date 3/15/20. This is on page 1 of 6/10/2/22. Probably just it's a two-year renewal, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Call the question, all in favor? Okay. Resolution 22267, that the Council of Township of McKellar does hereby receive staff report admin 2022-06 remaining of fire routes for information, and further that the names of the following fire routes be changed as follows. Fire Route 152, North Shore Road, Parker Road, Stoneman Road. Fire Route 152A, Loon Echo Lane. Fire Route 154, McEwen's Lane. Fire Route 155A, John Wilson Road. Fire Route 155B, Frankie's Lane. Fire Route 160, Eagle Way, Fairway Avenue, Lynx Lane, Mulligan Lane. Fire Route 200, Rango Road, Allo Road. Fire Route 201, Fergus Avenue. Fire Route 301, Monarch Road. Fire Route 302, Maple Road, Meadow Lane. Fire Route 306, Hart Road. Fire Route 307, Tonin Trail, Rinaldo Road. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Heskey, Councillor Moore. There's going to be some discussion on this because we've received some correspondence on this issue. So if I could just ask the clerk the process of how we got to here. So if you could review that for us so everybody's aware of it. Because this has been going on for a year and a half,
years.
I believe.
Yeah. A couple of years.
So I just want to know what steps were so everybody's clear.
So originally it would have been started when Tammy Wiley was the clerk, was when the process started. At that time, Karen Girard, who was the treasurer at the time, sent out the original letters to all of the recipients or all of the residents of the fire routes, asking them for submissions as to what they would like to name the road, letting them know that the township is in the process of changing from fire routes to street names, road names. There was a very limited response at that point. Then Mary took over and sent out another round of letters to everyone. We have had some of the responses have come through, and we have changed a portion of the fire routes, and these are just the remaining ones that have not been named yet. Now, since the letters have gone out, we have received a few responses, and last week I did receive emails. I think everyone else did receive emails from TU Allo in regards to that would be fire route 200. She says she has not received any correspondence, but we have confirmed that the correspondence was sent out to the address that she has for her tax bills that go out. That being said, there's no problem with having it named Aloe Road either. It was just we never received anything from TU Aloe.
Aloe.
So I have added it onto the resolution so that we could, if that's the choice that they have, then you know, we're fine with that.
There was a resident on Fire Route 302, the only permanent resident on Fire Route 302 that never received any correspondence or any, was never contacted at all about renaming of that fire route.
Okay, we can follow that up. Mary's got copies of all of the letters that went out. So.
And his, when I look through the, there was a list of names mm-hmm. with owners. I did not see their name on here, and there were they've been there for decades, and there were other names on there who aren't even residents of properties that sold over the years.
Okay, can you provide me with that documentation so that we can follow up on that, Mike?
Sure. So with the resolution here today, we're actually, some of these have numerous road names.
Yes, those are just suggestions that have been put forth, and we can cross them all out. We can accept any of them. A couple of them, as for Fire Route 102, two of the names have been submitted since the last letter went out. North Shore Road was one that was submitted. Parker Road was another that was submitted. And it was suggested that as the road Fire Route 152 goes through the Stoneman property, that was a suggestion that was put forward as well. Ultimately, council has final decision whether we choose any of those names or none of those names.
So the resolution is suggesting that we pass the naming of those roads listed, or we defer this, or
we can defer it. We or you can on any one of these roads. We can just cross it out. Any of them that we don't agree with.
I just have a feeling that once the road name is actually changed, there will be some feedback from people that they were never notified.
Yep.
Because there are other ones here that I've looked at that their names are on a fire route they don't even live on.
Okay.
So you know, there's maybe I think a few surprises when people are informed that when they see the sign.
We received surprises after the last ones were approved.
Yeah.
There were some people that responded afterwards.
Is there any way that we can send out the final notice to everybody and make sure we have all the correct information to go out saying that as of September 1st, we're going to move forward with the naming from a safety point of view? Because that's what it's all been about.
Yeah.
It's for a safety, for emergency purposes. So
yeah.
Can we send out like a final notice to everybody and either between Mike and Mary to make sure we have all the proper names and addresses or whoever has all those. We should have them all on the building, right? So.
Well, yeah, we should.
Should be correct up and for all the tax bills going up. So
yeah.
Is there not some way that we can do this at this point in time, but give till September 1 and then we'll deal with it in September with the final
naming?
That's the suggestion I'm making.
Yeah.
Can I suggest that where it's possible that there should be a majority of people on the road that agree with it and agree in writing? And if it's not a majority, then, I mean, if it comes down to having to have a tiebreaker, then maybe we choose the most popular of the whatever if there can't be a majority. But I think you're right.
We've done that in a few cases.
Yeah, that's what we did on the first ones.
Okay.
Was the majority
yeah.
was the one. And then, as I said, we still sure. got some phone calls from people
sure.
that, you know, either they're saying that they didn't get it, or they they don't approve of the name.
But otherwise, yeah, we can dispatch a letter saying we've received these names and either mm-hmm. pick one of them and tell us, and if you don't, then we'll go with the majority or the greatest number of votes.
Yeah, and we absolutely can do that. And ultimately, at the end of the day, council can make a decision to choose the yeah. name they recommend yeah. or choose a name of their choice.
Yeah. Yeah, we may have to. So I would think that's a good idea. Yeah, defer this until we make contact yeah. with, I guess, all 12 of these
yeah.
rows and ask for yeah. correspondence.
There is one here that you have, Fire Rule 152A, where you say it's submitted by the majority. If that's true, we could approve that one today and then leave the others if there is no majority.
Well, there were a few of them. Loon Echo Lane was suggested by the majority, agreed okay. by the majority of people. I'm not sure because Mike was saying that someone who was on Fire Route 302 isn't even on the list.
That's the only permanent.
So I'm not sure okay. who submitted
the
vote. So
I think if we defer the whole thing and then I think September 1st being a deadline, then we can move it all forward with accurate and up-to-date yeah. information. There might be the odd one that we have to still do a
yeah. referendum. Well, I'd like to confer with Mike and go over the roads as well, because obviously he's got information that I'm not sure whether the information originally was taken off the geography network or from the tax rolls where Karen had got them from. So I wouldn't mind sitting down with Mike and going over those and making sure that we've got everybody covered.
Just another question. If there's a road name such as Loon Echo Lane and Loon Call Lane within the same municipality, the 911 name approving committee, it would come back to the township?
It would come back to the township, although we did have one in the last naming that I don't think should have been approved, but it was off of Jones Bay or off of Jones Road. We now have a Jones Bay Road. Mm. It can cause confusion. And I had mentioned to Greg, I relate back to back in when they first built the first bypass through Perry Sound where the OPP station is now. We have Perry Sound Drive, and off of Perry Sound Drive we have Great North Road. When council, in their wisdom, named that, they did not take into consideration that going into the harbor, we have Great North Road that meets with Perry Sound Drive or Perry Sound Road. And fire departments had oodles of problems because you had two similar roads tying into two similar roads. So I absolutely agree with Mike that we've got to be very careful that we don't end up in a situation where we're going to have fire trucks or ambulances responding to the wrong spot.
Yeah, yeah, that is important.
So, I get a consensus of looking at deferring this, sending out a letter, confirming that we have the accurate information. And then after September, we'll be able to move it all forward, and hopefully, maybe we can get these all resolved before the new council, because this has been an ongoing, probably 3-year project. So we'd like to put it together. So.
Yeah, the other issue, I think, is that we need to specify that they need to return the letter. Otherwise, we can get the same situation saying, I never got the letter. Well, you know, if we dispatch it to the right address, I mean, you know, we can't wait forever. So we should be specific.
Response
that you need to return this letter no matter what your opinion is. Right?
Mm-hmm. By a certain date.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Good point.
Okay, any further discussion? But no. So a motion to defer. All in favor? Thank you, and thanks, Steph, for all their work. It's not easy. Yeah.
I'm moving on to the next point here. Thank you. That's good. But I believe there's a staff report that's missing from the agenda. The previous council had passed a resolution, 15394. That the Township of McKell direct the Fire Chief and Public Works Superintendent to provide Council with a monthly activity report. Mm-hmm. We have a Fire Department report that's enclosed.
Yes.
The majority of this document would be very beneficial for the public to be aware of.
Yes.
There's something that took place that should have been taking place in an open public process that hasn't. And the majority of this is very good information for the public to be aware of. And to be in tune with where the fire department is at with their yes. activities.
So. I have spoken to Rob about that. When he provided me the report, it was after preparing this agenda because the closed agenda was afterwards, and all he had mentioned to me was that he was providing me with recommendations for appointments. As soon as I got the report, I did go over it with him, and I explained to him that moving forward, something like that has got to be two separate reports. So he is aware of the fact that you've got the public information that you want going out, and then you've got closed information. So he does know that moving forward, and he is willing to provide whatever we need in order to have that part of the report that is public or should be public to make it public. But it was only because the recommendations were on that report that it was... Yeah, I know what's supposed to be public, but I know what has to be closed. So only having the one report, that was the decision that I made at that time because it's more important to keep the confidential information confidential.
So will we receive in the next council agenda then a modified report with
yep.
the information segregated out?
Yep, and he knows moving forward that if it's two separate reports, it's two separate reports. He can't undo it.
Okay. Okay. Just moving on to the mayor's report, I'm not going to go over it at all because it'll all be circulated to, but there's just lots going on. It's just been phenomenal. If you come around Saturday, you see all the stuff going on all over the place. It's just spectacular. But on a sad note, I just learned, and I'm off to the reception today, is that May Ball passed away on Sunday, and she's a lifetime resident of McKellar, and our condolences go out to the family, so just so you're aware. But the rest will all be circulated tomorrow morning, thanks to Mary putting it all together. There's lots of events coming up. Do you want to mention anything about the Kids Fish Derby, just how great it was? So.
Yeah, the Kids Fish and Fun Day came back after being canceled for 2 years because of COVID. Our current counts were down, but we still had 41 children, of course, all their parents, and it was a wonderful day. And again, it's going to continue to be an annual event, and then we'll probably start to increase again. We did compete against a large family event in Perry Sound that same day, so we'll try to next year not be on the same day. So, but other than that, it's great. And then this coming weekend on the Sunday, we're having the canoe kayak sup trip leaving Minerva Park for a bit of a circle road on Manitowoc for about 2 or 2.5 hour trip, and then back for a lunch at Minerva Park starting at 10 o'clock on Sunday, July 24th.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, they'll be circulated. If you have any questions, it's fine. So moving to 13, we have correspondence for consideration to the University of Guelph Rural Planning and Development Program, request for participation in municipal capacity research project. So we have resolution 22268. Be resolved that the Council of Township and Government of Sibbaran received a letter from the University of Guelph Rural Planning and Development Program dated July 4, 2022, inviting the Township to participate in a research project related to agri-food sector, and further that the Council agree to participate in the program, and further directs the clerk to notify the program research team to confirm participation. I need a mover and a second. Mr. Huskin, second.
Sorry, I missed the...
No, just the agricultural
okay.
Food study. Need a second. Okay, it's on the table. Anybody want to comment on it?
Well, as I read through it, I'm a little confused, but one major concern is there's really no budget implications with this at all, and something that I see. Yeah. So I really see no problem with the supporting that motion.
Any other comment? Yeah. I'll call a question. All in favor? Sorry. Resolution 22269, be resolved, the Council of Township does hereby receive the email from Climate Georgian Bay Biosphere dated July 4, 2022 regarding partnership in a joint proposal for the Federal Zero Emission Vehicle Infrastructure Program for information. And the mover and second. Councilor Ryland, second. Councilor Paskey. Do you want to speak to it, Nick?
Truthfully, I read it last week, anyhow, but I haven't read it again today. Give me a minute and I'll read through it again. But
this goes back a bit for couple of years when there was a request for partnership in order to, if a grant was ever made possible, that we might be part of that, but it was still, there was all sorts of miscommunication about costs. And there was no cost involved at all, it was just an inquiry to be part of a joint submission. Whether we'd even be accepted or not was questionable. So.
And I see they had a deadline of July 15th, last Friday. Given that we've passed that, is this, I mean, still really on the table? I guess we could choose to accept it or whatever, but I'm unclear about, you know, the financial impact to the town, too, whether this commits us to doing that, but for a joint proposal.
Can you hear that, Councilor Askin?
I move this motion just to get it on the table for discussion. And again, this one possibly could have budget implications for the municipality. And though I do know that it's going to be the way of the future, unless something drastic happens. But I still feel I was reading an article where I believe Shell Canada was embarking on some sort of program to start installing chargers all over the place, and there was no indication in that article that it would be a cost to the general public in any way. They would, as a business, that's an investment they would make. So I would lean a little more that way, is just don't plan on supporting this or motion, or we don't require any more information because this does have budget implications. So I say we just wait till more information comes forward, because it's a moving target, a growing animal, and so there's going to be a lot of updated information coming forward. So I say we hold on.
So we deferred or defeated? Is that what you?
I would say defeat probably is the way to go. Seems harsh. But.
And now rereading it again, like the third time while I've been sitting here, I mean, really all they're looking for is if we're interested in the opportunity. They're not actually asking for any commitment to doing it or for commitment of money at all, just simply they're looking for interested partners in a joint proposal for the Zero Emission Vehicle Infrastructure Program, right? And it says if successful, I mean, whatever that proposal would be, then we would get 50%. I mean, so in other words, we're simply committing, I believe, to being a partner in a proposal that doesn't oblige us to spend any money. I don't know exactly what the partnership entails and whether or not, you know, how much time that might take, but that's my read of it anyhow.
Councilor Beckman?
In bold letters, please let me know no later than Friday, July 15th, 2022. Placing of the charging station takes a little bit of forethought. Going from 0 to 100% full charge is 8 to 10 hours. And most of these charging units that are placed in strategic locations where there's washroom facilities, where there's amenities such as food and other things close by. As Councillor Haskam has mentioned, that there's numerous entities that are engaging in placing these charging stations at their locations because it's part of their business plan, business model, that while the vehicle is charging, then they can purchase items at their store. Canadian Tire is embarked in a all across Canada project as well, and Shell just heard that one recently. And so there are, and this particular one, Ivy, they place them strategically to ensure that there's not any gap of more than, I believe it was 100 kilometers between any of the charging stations. And that was already several years ago that was part of their plan, I think 2020. So I think really for a council to make any decision on something that will cost the township money, there has to be some little bit of forethought into where it would be placed, if it would be even something that's feasible. We heard in the previous application approximately a year and a half ago from over 200 McKellar ratepayers in a petition that they didn't want any of their tax dollars spent on a charging station. So I would defeat this, in my personal opinion, and if a proposal comes forward to for an installation that doesn't cost the taxpayers any money, because you do need to consider the location, the installation, the bollards to prevent anyone running into them, special painted area. We want the insurance company to review the any implications of having this and where they would like it. So there's a lot to consider. We need a staff report before undertaking any project like this.
So, yeah, just to echo Mike somewhat, yeah, there'll be other proposals coming forward for sure in the future to make sure that, because at some point, maybe the residents will appreciate a charger located somewhere in the community, and it may be with the business input as, you know, to possibly for them to get some business out of it, but we'll deal with that when we cross that path.
Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Please. Resolution 22-270 be resolved. Council Township of Governors hereby give bylaw number 2022-37 being a bylaw to enter into a contract with Chris Everett for the provision of municipal bylaw enforcement services, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council's 19th day of July 2022. Have a mover, a seconder, please. Councilor Hester, second. Councilor Ryan, can I speak to it more?
Well, I read it over, and I don't see any issues. I believe I was working with Chris on fine-tuning it, so all parties are happy. So I'm okay with it, but other council members may have concerns.
Councilor Kennedy?
Absolutely. Major point of concern. The previous contract that was signed with the previous bylaw enforcement officer under duties. The bylaw enforcement officer shall provide 24-hour on-call service to the corporation. the bylaw enforcement officer in this current contract shall provide 12 hours on-call service to the corporation. Previous bylaw enforcement scheduled on-duty officers should be available to proceed to a new call within 20 minutes, subject to them being already involved in a previously assigned call and or apparent public safety concern of the new call. So really a diminishing of the services being provided to the citizens and residents of McKellar Township. Major concern. Unfortunately, we're in a situation where this was only one of two submissions and probably the only real feasible one, but this is not anything that I'm wholeheartedly in support of.
And I completely understand. I know in the last council meeting we had said that this is to get us through to the end of this season and for the contract to be reviewed by the next council. We ended up in a really horrible situation when this contract was put in place a year ago.
When
it was put in place in 2021.
I think you can't miss the point that the contract that we, existing contract that we had with a fabulous provider was not renewed without council's knowledge.
That's what I am agreeing. I am agreeing to that wholeheartedly. When it was decided, when this contract was done with Mr. Everett and for the 12 hours, it was the assumption of the CAO at the time that the OPP were going to pick up the slack. The OPP are not going to pick up the slack. That being said, Chris is not an incorporation as was our previous provider. So he is not able to have employees. He does not have anyone that covers for him. And that being said, he physically cannot do a 24-hour day, 7 days a week. That's where we run into this problem. Is this contract great? Absolutely not. But is it better than not having any bylaw enforcement whatsoever until the end of the year? That's for council to decide.
I think there were two other factors that we considered, and one was that the 12 hours were actually not cruising around looking for things. It was the on-call possibilities that he had to be responsive to. So that was a major change in the actual workday situation. The second component of that was that now we have a new fire chief. We were going to take a look at supplementary assistance through the volunteer firefighters in the interim basis, so until it got reviewed by the new council. So those are the two considerations that the actual work of the bylaw officer was direct on-call work, not driving all around from a mileage point of view, from a realistic point of view, so that we could get the coverage in the prime time. We know that there's going to be longer calls in the summer. I mean, that's a given. But in the winter, it's much, much less. So over time, it probably works out to 12 hours. So that 12 hours is an understanding. He knows there are going to be more hours during the summer, particularly in July and August. But over the winter, it's not nearly much. So if you look at it amortized over time, and we can pick up those other two things, and that makes sense. That's where we were at.
Right. And I have had that conversation with Mr. Everett, and he understands that what we're looking for is strictly response to calls at this time and not patrolling at this time.
Right.
And I really wanted to hear Brian Johnson's deputation here today, because he did mention at the last short-term rental committee meeting that the bylaw enforcement officer doesn't answer his phone in times of need. So that's the, you know, that could be the difference between the 24/7 coverage we previously had, and that is unacceptable to the taxpayers in their time of need that the bylaw enforcement is not answering the phone.
And that was my understanding when I had spoken to Mr. Johnson earlier, prior to him putting in his deputation form. He was concerned, wanting to know just exactly what the township was providing as far as bylaw enforcement was concerned, because he did have concerns that he wasn't getting calls returned. That's the first time I've ever had anyone say the bylaw officer hasn't returned my phone call, but that's not to say it's not happening. I'm only going by what I've heard from one person. But again, as I said, is this contract what we need? Absolutely not. Is it the best that we've got right now? It's better than not having any enforcement at all.
Any further discussion?
We wouldn't consider changing this, just to say that at the very least he should return calls within a 24-hour time frame.
We can add that to the contract. I mean, that to me, that would have been just an assumption that if somebody's calling bylaw that you're going to answer the call, because nobody's calling bylaw to check what the weather conditions are.
Exactly, and if they are, that's a pretty short call. But
exactly, exactly.
Right. I mean, I think it's fair.
That should be automatic. I don't know if
I take it for granted, too.
To me, that's a staffing issue between the clerk and the bylaw.
And I can live with that.
But I would just say that they would. And if that's not happening, then it's, that's my opinion.
Yeah. And I can speak to this.
That shouldn't be
common courtesy. Okay.
Any further discussion? Call a question, all in favor?
Oh, and the recording device that was purchased for the previous bylaw enforcement officer has been returned to the township?
Yeah, Chris has it.
Yeah.
Resolution 22271, be resolved that the Council Township does hereby give bylaw number 2022-38, being a bylaw to provide for the payment of the remuneration of members of Council, first and second reading, and further read a third time and pass an open Council of 19th day of July 2022. Having mover and second. Councilor Haskell, Councilor Ryland. Open for discussion. Morley, do you want to speak to that?
I'm not sure why it's here. I'm taking it because we're not getting the standard increase.
And it was just amending the dates.
Amending the dates. Also.
Right.
Okay. Can I just say, okay, no, your version does have it. Okay. It's 20, it does say 38. The copy that I have says 37.
Yeah, we had to change.
Okay.
Any further discussion?
So this is the exact same amount that was received the year prior.
Yeah, it's just basically saying changing the date that it had been reviewed.
Okay.
Yeah. We didn't increase.
You did.
We decided not to take an increase.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any further discussion? Yes.
We say in item 3 that they should be paid bi-weekly installments, but if I'm right, we get paid semi-monthly. In other words, there's 24 pay periods versus 26 in a year.
I think it's 26. Thank you. There's a couple of months in which there's 3.
I had this discussion the timing works about 2 weeks ago because I was looking at timing saying, how come they don't appear to follow, at least not rigidly follow, a schedule? But
he does follow a schedule.
I can tell you the pay deposited to my account is not...
It's not regular. It's not absolutely regular. No, I don't know.
Yeah, Mary's just going to get Roshan so he can speak to that, because I was of the...
There is a big difference between bi-weekly and semi-annual.
I was of the assumption that it was bi-weekly as well.
That's my understanding.
Because I think he was trying to streamline...
What did you say?
Everything.
Semi-monthly. In other words, twice a month, or here, twice a month, which would be 24 times in the year, or bi-weekly, which would be 26 times in the year. And there's a difference.
There is a difference.
Right? And it doesn't matter to me either one. I don't have a preference, but whatever it is what I
All right,
I
we're just
say.
Questioning that why you're overpaying us to buy this payment. So we want to know if we're getting paid bi-weekly, so that's 26 payments, or by
semi-monthly.
Semi-monthly, which is 24 payments.
Bi-weekly.
Okay.
That's 26 payments.
Okay. As long as you're sure that's good, I'm happy. So
there you go.
That's great.
Thank you,
Roshan.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Don't call the question. All in favor? Here. Resolution. Yeah, that's
yeah, okay.
All done. Questions? Okay. Resolution 22272, be resolved that the Council Township of McGellar does hereby receive the consent agenda. Mover and seconder, please. Councilor Askew, second. Councilor Riley, any discussion? Call a question. All in favor? Okay, if there's anyone from the audience who would like to ask a question of council that for items that is on the agenda. Yes, sir, please state your name. Please state your name.
This donation for the OFSC dynamic, I thought that was allowed to be for vehicles.
So it was defeated?
It was defeated.
It doesn't matter whether it's defeated. I'm just saying, why was it even entered? Because it's a vehicle we're asking for.
Right.
So it shouldn't even be in there.
There's two items on that were both considered capital projects.
Yeah.
And we knew that was not part of the policy. There were a lot of contradictions when these things came in. Part of it was the two applicants that were capital projects. That was made note of in my report, and it was up to council to make that decision. They did defeat it, and that's why we are reviewing it.
Okay, yeah. I do have an issue with it anyway, the machine.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is they've put a spur through Lazy Narrows.
Mm-hmm.
I've been fishing there for about 50 years, and they want to run through there with that groomer.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Not so.
That would be difficult.
Yeah. Did we ever get the camera back from Gary Joyce?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yes.
And the last guy. So we got two cameras.
The oldest one?
The oldest one, there was one that broke, that had to get replaced.
Mm.
And the one that replaced the broken one, Chris has it now.
As just holding, you had to buy a third.
No.
Third.
Be returned.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, and do moving into, I need a resolution. Resolution 22273. Be resolved that the Council of Township of McGellar pursuant to Municipal Act SO 2001 as amended move into closed session at
12:09 p.m.
to discuss the following items: minutes of closed session, personal matters of unidentified with individual, including municipal or local board employees, 239-2B, appointments to committees, appointments to the fire department. Move in a second, please. Mr. Ryan.
Second?
Yeah, sure.
Councilor Hessen. All in favor? Carried. Thanks, everybody.